This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Zainab Bangura is one of the leaders of the pro-democracy movement in Sierra Leone. Along with Joe Apala, who we heard from earlier, she co-founded the group The Campaign for Good Governance, which helped organize Sierra Leone's 1996 democratic election. 2 weeks ago, rebel leader Fode Sanko went into hiding as his home was surrounded and ransacked by angry protesters. About 20 of the demonstrators were killed. After several days in hiding, Sanko was captured by pro-government forces and is now in custody. Yesterday, we called Zainab Bangura at her office in Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. I asked her what the popular opinion is in her country regarding what to do with Fode Sanko, the man who has led the campaign of amputation, rape, and murder, but was made vice president of the country in last year's power-sharing agreement brokered by the U.S., Britain, the U.N., and several African countries.
Well, I think everybody is saying that he should be tried for war crimes, taking into consideration the atrocities that he has committed, but more important, because of the 20 people that were killed in front of his house during the demonstration against him. And also, by trying him internationally, it will give us an opportunity to also try those people who have been involved in the supply of arms and in the sale of diamonds from Sierra Leone. So we call it the war diamonds. It is only through an international tribunal war crime that we can be able to get our hands on them.
So you think that the amnesty will be ended?
Well, the amnesty only covered the period from the day he started the war and until July 7th when the agreement was signed in 1999. But the amnesty also doesn't apply beyond the borders of Sierra Leone. So if we try him outside Sierra Leone, the amnesty doesn't apply to him. That's what the United Nations said to us. And secondly, I don't think we can afford the cost. But more important, I think Fode Sanko has been a lot of problem to our lives. So we want to put him aside and continue to move ahead with our lives. By trying him in Freetown, it's going to consume our time, it's going to affect our resources, and he's also a security risk.
Is there any functioning government now in Sierra Leone?
Well, it's very difficult, not exactly, because as we all know, that the RUF is controlling over 50% of the country. And the country is sort of disconnected from each other. The South and Eastern Province, even though they are supposed to be under the government's control, most of the institutions of governance have not been established. There are no courts operating. The police are just starting to go back before the latest crisis came. So you cannot actually say a functioning government in Sierra Leone. There is a government in Freetown in the city, but the government is here to take control of the rest of the country.
Is there any order in the streets?
Yes, in Freetown there is, because Freetown is well protected by the UN forces as well as by the British. So in Freetown there is some semblance of sanity and security. But beyond Freetown, it's difficult to tell.
Have you been outside of Freetown lately?
Well, you can't, because you're not allowed to go there. You know, it's only if either you travel by air to go to other parts of the country that we have UN forces in the south and east. But you definitely cannot travel by road out of Freetown. So I dare not, because I'm on the list of wanted people by the RUF, so I will not bother to go out of Freetown.
Now, the RUF terrorized the population of Sierra Leone with mass amputations, rapes, the looting and burning of homes. Is the RUF still terrorizing the people?
They are still, because as I talk to you now, we just got report from Cambia that they are doing massive recruitments. Each and every able-bodied young man is being recruited by the RUF from the Cambia district, from the Putloko district, and they are taking them towards Kailaon. They are right now retreating from Bombali district in the northern province, and whilst they retreat, they are burning each and every house on site. So as I speak to you now, there is massive destruction taking place. Nobody can verify these things because nobody is there to come and tell us. The UN forces, the UN human rights people are leaving tomorrow morning to go to Guinea to talk to some of the refugees who are running away from the northern province. So there is a lot of problem going on in the northern province, but there is no government presence or UN presence to verify this. So people who are sneaking in out and coming to us, they are telling us that all the young men have been taken away, the women are being raped. We've not heard of anything about amputation, but we know that the properties, houses have been destroyed and the entire villages and towns have been burned.
Do you have any idea why that was part of their technique for terrorizing the population? Why amputations?
Well, the amputation actually started after the election, or before the election of 1996, which was to force people not to go out and vote, because if you don't have arms, then you can't vote. But when they failed in that, people still went out and voted. They now use that to sort of subject the communities to terror, because they feel that if they cannot control them, they will use terror. And so when they do that, the people are afraid to deal with them. They are afraid to deal with government. They are just totally and completely intimidated by the community. So now, if anybody hears anything about RUF, they run as fast as they can. It is a way of subjecting the entire population to terror and forcing the community to accept them. Because even when the women demonstrated in front of Fodi Sankoh's house on the 6th of May, you know, most of the people who were standing in unfinished buildings around the house demonstrated to the women that they are going to chop up their hands. They're going to cut their throats. It is a way of intimidating the population for you to accept them, to understand that they can do anything they want to do. Nobody can protect you.
Now, is this mostly in the countryside, or did this happen in the city of Freetown, the capital city as well?
It only happened in Freetown after the January 6th invasion. It was done for the past 9 years. It was done out of the capital city, Freetown. But when they came into Freetown and they realized that the ECOMOG were going to drive them out of Freetown, they resorted to amputation, and they ended up amputating over 7,000 people.
In Freetown?
Yes.
An ECOMOG that you just mentioned, that's the West African forces that
were sent in.
West African
peacekeeping force.
Yeah. So do you see a lot of people in the streets of Freetown now who have had limbs amputated by members of the RUF?
Oh, yes. We have a camp they call the War Victim and Amputees Camp. It's in the west end of Freetown, and there we have about 500 of these people who are there, and we have children as young as 5 months old who were amputated when they were 2 months old. You know, we still have them. We have youngers. The youngest amputee we have at the moment, I think, is about 1 year, 6 months or so. But both of them, a girl and a boy, the boy lost the leg and the girl lost her arm. Both of them were amputated when they were 2 months old.
Now, do you think that the RUF has accomplished its goal of terrorizing people into accepting the RUF, or are people still willing to vote against them if there's another vote?
Well, at least I think to be able to answer that question, I wish you were here on the 8th of May when they demonstrated against Fodi Sankoh, and we had over 100 to 200,000 people who turned out to demonstrate against him. And then when he was captured, and most of the people thought that they should amputate his arms and limbs, and this cut him off. But luckily, the police intervened, and also Lieutenant General Paul Koroma insisted that they take him to the police station. People are determined to fight against him, no matter what it costs. They are determined to fight against him. They are determined to prevent him from kidnapping what they have decided that is what they want, and that is democracy. So I don't think any amount of terror can subject the people of Sierra Leone under the RUF rule.
My guest is Zainab Bangura, a leader of the pro-democracy movement in Sierra Leone. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Joining us by phone from Sierra Leone is Zainab Bangura, a leader of her country's pro-democracy movement. Have you or other people who you know who worked on the election in 1996 become disillusioned about the ability of a democratic election to really change the future of Sierra Leone?
Well, we don't look at it that way. We feel that if only we had been given the opportunity to allow our democracy to flourish, we can. Because we feel that our democracy has been sabotaged and manipulated by people who are supposed to be defenders of democracy worldwide and who have forced us to accept the RUF in a government of power sharing, even though these are people who have terrorized us, who have committed some of the worst atrocity. They insisted that we change the constitution to accommodate these people. And these are all things that do not go well for democracy. If only they had supported us in what we were pursuing and trying to rebuild a democratic Sierra Leone, I think we could have been able to achieve more. But rather than that, they forced us to compromise our democracy and in a way which has taken us back to where we did not expect to be. So I think the fact that the democracy did not work in Sierra Leone also was also the contribution of some of the countries outside who have refused to encourage us to do likewise.
You're referring to the peace-sharing plan as being what compromised
the
democracy?
We're referring to the Lome Agreement, I mean, which took us, I don't want to say 100 years back, but which was completely contrary to the principles of democracy, completely detrimental to the growth of democracy in Sierra Leone. And the fact that we had to bring the RUF in, who do not believe in the principles of democracy, who do not work according to the rules of the game, means that we had to compromise. And by compromising, even the difficult people, the reluctant people who are very reluctant to come along with us, also do not now come to say, what the hell were we fighting for? So I think if we had been left on our own as a country and as a people, we could have achieved much more.
What do you think of Jesse Jackson's visit to Sierra Leone?
To be honest enough, I am not very impressed with him because I was here in Freetown in November of 1998 when he visited, and I remember him making the remark in the United States Embassy when questioned that how is he going to force President Kabah to negotiate with the RUF when the rest of the country do not, or when the population generally do not want him to negotiate. And his remark was that that's what makes a leader. A leader is supposed to mold public opinion. A leader is not supposed to follow public opinion. And I think I found that very insulting because it goes beyond my principle of democracy. And I believe that democracy is for leaders to listen to the opinion of their people, and that is what they follow. It's not for the leader to manipulate that opinion and force the people to accept what they don't accept. So I was not very impressed with that statement, and I have never been impressed, and I find it very insulting that somebody we have so much regard for, that we have read about in the United States, and that we thought should stand there and fight for us as Africans, is here now trying to sabotage and trying to encourage somebody like Fode Sanko to continue to commit some of these atrocities. Because without the encouragement of people like that, I don't think Fode Sanko will have the audacity to come and think that he should lead this country. Because he knows how much we feel about him. He knows how much the people hate him. And he knows how much destruction he's caused for this country. But you cannot explain it to people outside.
The elections failed to create a lasting difference in Sierra Leone. International intervention failed. What is the solution that you would recommend for making things better in the country now?
Well, I think until we're able to deal with the war, with the air wave, we'll never be able to have peace in Sierra Leone. And as I speak to you now, the pro-government forces are right in the heart of the northern province, running after the RUF. You know, I think all the forces, even including their former allies, who have realized now that they made a mistake, that the greatest mistake they made in their life was to join forces with the RUF, have now turned against the RUF, and they are the ones who are running after the RUF. And I hope that if we get them out of the northern province, and then can now follow them to the Diamond area. Because the reason why people like Charles Taylor and the others are supporting the RUF is because they have access to our diamonds. So instead of our diamonds being a blessing to us, they are now being a curse. This is the resources that are being used to kill our people. So we are going to fight the RUF. We're going to fight them to the last day and make sure we get them out of the shores of Sierra Leone so that we can have peace for once. I mean, democracy, I still believe democracy is the way. I still believe in the principles of democracy. And I believe that if only we can be allowed to have a functioning democracy, I think the future for Sierra Leone will be very, very good.
Are you on an RUF hit list? Are you?
Well, if I am in their hits list, well, I know they don't like me. That's much I can say, you know, and that has been said to me several times by the RUF leader himself. So I don't want to say I'm in their Italy, but I know for a fact that RUF do not like educated people. RUF do not like people who voice out opinion against them. RUF do not like people who criticize them. RUF do not like intellectuals. They don't like educated people. Fode Sankoh said in one of his interviews that he was going to develop a concentration camp. And this has seen thousands of our educated people leaving the shores of Freetown because they are fighting for their health. So I am not surprised. I know that the RUF, if possible, they can get rid of me if they have the opportunity. And I know they have tried on few occasions. But I'll continue to fight them.
Has it been difficult for you to keep yourself safe?
Well, to some extent, yes, but I have been able to have protection from ECOMOG. So to a large extent, I'm protected inside my house. And so I'm safe as long as I am within the shores of Freetown. That's why I don't take the risk to go out of Freetown.
Where are you talking to us from now?
I'm speaking from my office in Freetown.
And can you see any signs around you of the war?
Oh, I mean, right opposite me, our house was burnt because when the rebel came in January 1996, they actually attacked our office. And because it's a main office that is being used by all the civil society. But luckily for us, it's such a strong building and it's so protected that they couldn't get access into the building. So what they did, they burnt all the buildings around the office. So I don't need to get out of my building to see the level of destruction. And on a daily basis, we have people who come here, amputees. You know, we do a lot of work with the amputee camp, especially in terms of the civic education, and give them airtime on the radio to talk about some of the problems. So, I mean, the evidence of the war is a daily part of my life.
Zainab Bangura, I have one more question for you. I know you're a parent. Can I ask how old your child or children?
My son is 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Knowing that children have had their arms and legs amputated by the RUF, are there special things you've tried to do as a mother to protect your child?
Well, interestingly, my son actually is joining a human rights group. They have a children's human rights group, and he's visiting the camp. He's collecting old clothing, going to this amputee camp and working with the children. I think he's also getting involved with the kind of job I do, and so he's also started working. He's founded his own small organization with his colleagues between the ages of 13 to 16, and they go into displaced camp and provide charity and food and old clothes for those children. I believe that what I'm doing for my country, and I'm also doing it for my son because I believe that my son deserves to have a better country where he can live. And so as much as I try to protect him, I also try to get him to face the reality of the situation and understand that he has a role to play.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And good luck and stay safe, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Zainab Bangura recorded yesterday by phone from Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. She's a leader of the pro-democracy movement in her country. Coming up, we speak with Susan Rice, the State Department's Assistant Secretary for African Affairs. This is Fresh Air.